Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are today in lesson 296. And last time we were in Joshua, where Joshua gathered all of Israel at the end of his life. And he's giving them the last message. And basically, he's giving them the history of their people and the fact that idolatry always got the best of them. And unfortunately, it was in the nature of the people of Israel to always have those idols in them. And it is actually in the nature of all men. As we mentioned several times, as long as we have needs, as long as we are flesh and blood, and as long as we are limited, we are going to look for any source to fulfill our needs. And that's how idolatry comes about. And that's the reason we should be always extremely careful and be watchful for it. Because God told us, you have needs, understand that, I created you, you come to me. But we by nature, if we do not have a relationship with God, will go to those sources that would fulfill those needs. And so Joshua is addressing this very issue here, and every single prophet basically addressed the same issue, and to this very day. Even Jesus Christ, toward the end of the time, when he spoke about his church, when he said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith upon the earth? That's what he's talking about. If people have faith in God, they are going to go to him for everything that they need. And they're going to have faith in him, that he will do what he said that he will do, and that he will take care of all their needs, and they don't need to have any insecurities. But obviously, when people do not have that kind of faith, they are going to be idol worshippers. And so all of us are subject to it. And so Joshua tells them, after he gives them the history of their people up to that point, he tells them in verse 14, Now therefore, fear the Lord, not your idols. Fear him, obey him, worship him. You see, he will give you all your needs. He will take care of your insecurities. With him you are not going to go hungry. With him you would not lose wars. You will have security in the land and defense. With him you would have health and all those blessings that God has promised them. And that's what he's saying. Fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. You see, most people don't do that. And that's what Jesus Christ was telling the Samaritan woman in John 4. He says, the Father, being spirit being, he searches for those who would serve him in truth and in spirit. Because there are many who believe in Christ, many who believe in God, very few believe him. Very few serve him in truth and in sincerity. And this is what he commanded Israel to do, because that's the last thing that the people of Israel, by nature, were doing. And when people look to idols all the time, they cannot serve God in sincerity and in truth. As Christ would say, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can go both ways. And yet that was the nature of the children of Israel and all mankind. And especially with the children of Israel, they serve God in one hand, on the other hand, they serve other gods. You see? So when you say, sir, you cannot serve God or mammon, basically you are talking about idolatry. All the things that will take care of you are your idols, if they are not from God. And so he says, you serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Imagine that. After all this time, after the second generation that was permitted to enter into the land because they showed more faith than their parents in God, after the conquering of the land, the entirety of the life of Joshua here is just practically over, and he still has to tell them that, put away the gods that your forefathers that came from Babylon served, and now your forefathers also that lived in Egypt also served. You see how deep idolatry was in Israel? Even while they are serving God and worshiping God, and God is leading them into battle and blessing them and being with them and speaking to them and being in their presence, they are still idol worshippers, and so are we to this very day. We do not have statutes. We have other things. And that's what an idol is all about. We are looking to others, to other sources for fulfillment of our needs. To give us security, to give us health. You see? That's why a lot of people today are getting back into the system. of being involved with the government, of thinking if I would vote, then my needs will be fulfilled. Not if I would serve God in truth and in spirit, He will make sure that those things are taken care of one way or the other. We have no faith in Him anymore. Some of us, as we used to in the past, and so we think we've got to take things into our own hands. And we go into the Bible and twist and pervert everything there that we can to fit our own agenda, to justify ourselves. Why is it that we can have idols and serve God at the same time? Yes, unfortunately, that many of us are falling for it. And we do not realize, as Jesus Christ said, hey, this is not my world. This is not my system. If that was, my servants would fight. You know, we'll take things into our own hands and do something about it. And the fighting could be done in several ways. Either, you know, by sword or by word of mouth, you know, voting, whatever it may be, all kind of things like that. He says, no, it's not my world. This is the government of this world. This is the government of the devil. This is the hour of darkness. We're not a part of it. He told us to come out of this world, not to be a part of it, not to get into its system. You see? Not to seek to fulfill our needs the way the world does. That's what he was telling his people. You know, the Gentiles are like that, seeking to fulfill their needs in so many ways. They do not come to God for it. They don't think that he's powerful enough to affect changes, to cause changes, to put it in the heart of people to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Even though they don't know him, they may be leaders of the world, he can do all those things. We don't have that faith, that kind of faith anymore in him. That's what Christ was saying. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? Or in other words, you might say, or is he going to find his people still into idolatry just like as before? Now that's what he's telling them. Here you are, second generation. Obedient to God on one hand, and yet you've got all those gods that you have brought, not only from Egypt, but even the gods that your fathers brought from Babylon. You know, when Rachel introduced idol worship into the family of Israel by stealing the idols, and certainly making use of them later on, she and her family. You see, that was a problem of the children of Israel time and time again. And so this is what he's saying to them. This is what God is telling us. This is Joshua speaking to them, and this is Jesus Christ speaking to us. Don't worry about the morrow. You see? Don't you be faithful. Don't you be evil. Don't you be wicked. You know, your Heavenly Father knows all of your needs. He knows them. Whether they are personal needs, whether they are needs in terms of government and policies and things like that, He knows your needs. He will take care of them. We don't believe it anymore. Many of us don't. And so we take things into our own hands. We're going to do it. You see? God is not capable of taking care of those kind of things anymore. That's what idol worship is all about. And so he says, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. You see? Don't serve them. They will not serve you. Serve God. He will serve you. He will take care of your needs. He will fulfill all of your needs. And that's what it says. Put all of your trust in God and do not lean to your own understanding. And that's what a lot of people are doing and have always been doing that. That's how idolatry comes about and creeps in our midst, and we are not even aware of it in so many ways. And a lot of people don't even know what idolatry is all about. And he says, verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. You can serve both. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Every time I have a need, if there is insecurity, whatever it may be, I will go to Him. You see? I'm not going to take things into my own hands and literally create a god, you know, with my own hands and then bow down and worship it. I'll just seek to do my own thing. And Joshua had to learn a hard lesson too, because there was something that he had done at the beginning of his rule over his people, the people of Israel. When they entered into the land, he took things into his own hands. When the Gibeonites came, pretending like they came from far away and they wanted to make a covenant with Israel so they would not be slaughtered by Israel, And he did not consult God. There was a need there, you see. It was a matter of security, national security, you might say. He did not consult God. He just did it on his own. And then he had to pay the penalty for it, in essence. God had to rebuke him for it, and the people of Israel had to pay the penalty for it also. Because they did not look to God, and the elders did not look to God, did not say, hey, now wait a minute, no, we cannot really tell whether those people are deceiving us or not. Let's go to God, let's go to the high priest and ask him to contact God with the Urim and the Tumim and find out. They didn't do that. They leaned to their own hands. That was idol worship, leaning to your own understanding and then making a decision. And so, he knows that. And that's what he's saying here. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day, you know, whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land now you dwell. And that's before they entered into the land. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now here it is. They all have those idols. And they say, far be it from us that we should stop serving the Lord. What in essence they mean by that, we're going to serve God, we're going to continue to serve God, but also we're going to have our own idols, you know, just in case, so to speak. And obviously, that was not acceptable with God. Verse 17, for the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sights and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. Well, all that sounds good and well. And they acknowledge that, which is good, because the people that came after them, their own children, did not acknowledge even that. Verse 18, and the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Well, if He is the God of Israel, what are they doing with all those idols in their midst? Not only the idols of Egypt that they just, you know, came from, but also the idols of Babylon. You see, that doesn't make sense. And yet, that's the way people are. A lot of people are saying that to God. You know, I'll accept, you know, your truth, or some of your truth, but also I'm going to bring my own luggage, you know, that I brought with me from my old religion or culture or whatever it may be, or my own thinking, you know, the way I understand things, and we're going to mix both of them together. And Christ said, you cannot mix two things together. They're going to tear. And that's what he's talking about also. You cannot have idol worship and the worship of God at the same time. And when we have our own doctrines and teachings and things like that that we brought with us from the world, not from God, that's idol worship. But Joshua, this is what he replies to them, realizing that they still don't get it. You cannot serve God and have idols at the same time. That's why he says, put away the idols. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. You see, in your state of mind, you do not even understand the issue. That when you serve God, you serve Him wholeheartedly, and there should be nothing else there. You have to love Him with all of your being and heart. You have to totally commit to Him, all of your actions and all of your thoughts, and subject to Him everything, you know. Bring to subjection every thought, every imagination, you know, to the authority of Jesus Christ, and that's their God, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Deliverer, the God of Israel. And he says, in your state of mind, you know, you really can't do that. He said, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. In other words, He does not allow anything else to come in between, and you constantly bring those things, and you're not even aware of them. It doesn't even dawn on you. You cannot have gods and serve God at the same time and claim that you're going to serve only Him. It doesn't work like that. He said, He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins. You cannot serve Him and acknowledge Him for all the great things that He had done for you and then have your own idols. And a lot of those that call themselves nowadays Christians, you know, that's what they do exactly. On one hand, you know, they say, oh, Christ died for us and He paid the penalty for us, we're now under grace and things like that. And on the other hand, they reject His law, His teachings, and they do their own thing and they follow the teachings of their own fathers and their forefathers. You see? That's idol worship. God says, you cannot do that. Christ said, you cannot do that. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? That's what Joshua is trying to get into their head, you know, into their thick skull, and they don't get it. God is holy. He's not going to allow any spot or any blemish in your faith toward Him. You have to totally give your body, mind, and soul to Him, everything. But they were still hanging around with those idols in their midst. And so He said to them, He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He doesn't tolerate others. No other gods can stand between you and Him. And He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. And that's speaking to us also. We cannot play these kind of games of mixing truth and error. Oh, we think it's all truth. You see, the children of Israel thought, you know, all those gods are, you know, they're just, you know, demigods. You know, they're all part of a way of life. And then the God of gods. And says, you cannot do that. Verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good. And a lot of people would come to Jesus Christ and say, hey, Lord, Lord, we've done all those things in Your name. You know, we've been blessed. We were able to do a lot of those things. We were able to give to the poor. We went all over the world and served people and things like that. You see? And always praise God. You know, they always say, praise God, hallelujah, and all those things. For all the blessings and the doors that were open and the works that He was doing in their midst and things like that, and they come to Him and the door is shut and they knock on the door and say, hey, what about us? Look at all the things we've done in Your midst, and You were in our midst, You taught in our streets and things like that. And He looks at them and said, I don't even know you. You depart from me, you evil, you know, you workers of iniquity. You're idol worshippers. Get out of here. So in essence, the same thing. After all the good things that, you know, they felt God had done for them, now He throws them out to the dogs. That's what He's saying there. He's saying to them here, He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He's done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Well, so Joshua told them, you are witnesses against yourselves. And He says in verse 22, so Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you. Again, imagine that. In that state of mind, they think that they're serving God and they know that He's the one that delivered them. They're still hanging around with the gods and He still has to tell them that again. You really don't get it. You see? And people to this very day, they don't get it. No matter how many times you tell them, they still want to cling to their own, you know, the old teachings, what they brought from the background, thinking they are right. And here it is. He still has to remind them and tell them again, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and His voice we will obey. And Joshua basically says, we'll see, you see. Because the reality is, they did not. Their children rose up, and immediately after that, we read in Judges, a new generation rose that did not know the Lord, nor all the miracles that He had done for them. Well, how does that happen? Well, the parents didn't know what they were supposed to do. The parents kept the idols. You know, that was empty. Confession of faith in many ways. Just somebody gets in trouble and he says to God, I'll be good, you know, just do this for me, I'll be good. And right after that, we turn around and do exactly what we used to do before that. That's human nature. That's idol worship. We're by nature idol worshippers. And it's not easy for people to remember to totally, totally give ourselves to God in everything, to commit ourselves to Him and not to seek to do things on our own and lean to our own understanding and follow our own teachings that we brought with us from the past, which are not from God. We think they are from God. And a lot of people are still walking in this darkness. And then later on down the road, in the history of Israel, several centuries later, this is what we read in the Psalms, in Psalm 44, written by the sons of Korah, in verse 20, this is what we read, if we had forgotten the name of our God, or stretched our hands to a foreign God, which unfortunately the people of Israel have always been doing, would not God search this out? Can we really deceive Him? For He knows the secrets of the heart. Yet, for your sake, we are killed all day long, and are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And the reality is that the people of Israel did not really follow God as they should all the way. And they think that they worship God, and Elijah had to tell them, look, you know, if God is your God, you serve Him. If the idols, if Baal is your God, then serve Him. You know, you cannot have both of them. And they said, oh, the Lord is our God, the Lord is our God. Did they really mean it? They continued to walk in idolatry. Those were empty words. That's what Joshua was telling them. You cannot really serve God. You don't have the capacity to serve God. You don't have that kind of faith to totally put your trust in Him. You are still going to continue in your own ways. Oh yes, on one hand you'll worship God and honor Him in your lips, but in your heart He's going to be far from you. And you're going to be far from Him because of your state of mind. And so it's important for Israel to constantly remember that to this very day. The Israel of God, or the Israel in the old days, it was still the same. That's the way we function, unfortunately. And that's exactly what God told them. We go to the book of Ezekiel. At this point, Israel is already gone into captivity, again, because of idolatry of all sorts that leads to all kind of problems and sins and evils in the nation. And finally, God had enough of them, and He just threw them out of the land. He allowed an enemy to come. He raised the enemy, and He brought that enemy over there, and He took them into captivity because they were not willing to serve God with their whole being and heart, no matter how much He tried, you know, in spite of all their idol worship, He still continued to work with them and help them, but they were not willing to respond. And then Judah was the same. Instead of learning lessons from that, they continued to walk in the same ways. And they too, He finally threw them away. And at this point, only a part of them were taken to captivity. And Ezekiel was among them. They were in Babylon. And so they come to him, searching an answer from God, wanting to know certain things from God, while at the same time still serving idols. And so we read here in chapter 20 of Ezekiel, verse 1, it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and said before me. Now, these are people who are still idol worshippers. And also they come to God. A lot of people were doing that. They were serving idols and also going to the temple. And at times, they actually brought the idols into the temple. And so, you know, they said, well, all the gods are here. Might as well, you know, bring them all together so we can pray to the, you know, the God in heaven and also to all the other gods. And that's the way they functioned, isn't it? And so, verse 2, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, so God is responding to this request on the part of the elders of Israel that were there in captivity with Ezekiel, as before, the captivity of Zedekiah, the entirety of the land. And God says to them, son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, have you come to inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired off by you. I'm not interested in you. What kind of people are you? You serve other gods and you come to me? How dare you? And he says to him, will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Then make known to them the abominations of their fathers, you know, just in case they forgot, just like Joshua was telling them. And they still told Joshua, oh no, we're going to serve God. But they did not. That's why I told them, you're not capable of serving God. And we have to ask ourselves the questions. Are we really capable of serving God all the way? Body, mind, and soul, totally trusting in Him and leaning to His own understanding, not our own. Well, the way we behave, you know, oppressing one another in many ways, criticizing one another, putting down one another, causing divisions, frictions, all kind of things like that, hurting one another, even in the midst of a family where people are doing to each other, you know, husbands to wives to husbands, and children, and things like that, and brethren. Can we really serve God with all of our being and heart, not have our own idols with us at the same time? So he tells them, you tell them about all the abominations of their fathers. Not that they don't know it, but they are not willing to acknowledge their behavior and the fact that they are hypocritical by nature. They just don't see that they're idol worshippers. They lean to their own understanding. They do their own things. And yet at the same time, when they are in need, they come to God. And people do it all the time. You know, what's the common usage of the language? Oh God, oh God. That's what people say. Oh God. What do you mean, oh God? You don't serve God. Yeah, people don't believe in God. Couldn't care less about Him, about His laws and commandments, about His path and His statutes and judgments. And yet in their time of need, or even just vain talk, vain language, taking His name in vain. Oh God. Oh my God, you know, they always use this terminology. What kind of people are these? These are idol worshippers. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel, I raised my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt. I raised my hand in an oath to them. He's saying it twice, saying, I am the Lord your God. Imagine that. He has to raise his hand and tell them, I'm God. On that day, I raised my hand in an oath. And this is the third time that he's saying that to them, to bring them out of the land of Egypt into the land that I had searched out for them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of the lands. Then I said to them, each of you, throw away the abominations which are before his eyes, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I am the God of your father, Jacob, you know, that came down to Egypt, and his father Isaac, and his father Abraham. But Israel went totally into idolatry. He says, I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not obey me. That's in Egypt. When we talk about the slavery in Egypt, let's understand what happened. When we talk about all the miseries and sufferings we have on this earth, let's understand what happened, what brought it about. When we have those evil rulers that do their own thing, that are hurting people, let's understand why that happened. It's us. Our actions, our conduct, our behavior, as a whole, as a nation, if not on an individual basis, that brought it about. That's why God allows those things to happen. And then we think we're going to get, you know, into the action there, you know, and use our own intuition, intelligence, and our votes and things like that, and change things. It doesn't work like that. And so he said, they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before our eyes, or their eyes, that is. Nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. No way, they basically would say to the prophets of God, you know, obviously he sent them prophets to speak to them, to tell them those kind of things. They wouldn't listen. Though there is no record of who those prophets were, but obviously God is saying that he sent them people. He always does. And he still does, and he's always been doing it to people, but people would not listen. And they did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. And that's how the new ruler, Pharaoh, that did not know Joseph, rose up. You see, God turned his heart to hate his people and to want to do them harm. And God is the one that allows those base rulers to be in positions where they do harm to the people because of the wickedness that is in the people. That's why. And yet people think, oh, well, we're going to take care of this problem. We're going to, you know, take things into our own hands and change it. Either by revolution, war, friction, conflict, you know, terrorism, votes, whatever it may be, we're going to do it. Now we're going to exercise our rights. Well, that's the way people always are. And they don't look up to God, because he's not their only God. They've got others too. And so he said, I'm always going to pour my fury on them right there in the midst of Egypt. But I acted, verse 9, for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles, among them, you know, all the Egyptians and all the nations around there, among whom they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, I made them go out of the land of Egypt. Well, in spite of them, God still delivered them, brought them out, you know, yelling and crying to God, you know, God delivered us, we're in misery, you know, that evil man, Pharaoh, look what he's doing to us, and all the Egyptians, and they were crying day and night. But they were not crying in genuine repentance. That's what was the problem. They still maintained their idols all the way, crying to God in one hand, having their idols on the other, praying to them too. Praying to anybody who will deliver them to fulfill their needs. And so he says, I brought them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. You know, the Sinai and the whole area there before he brought them into the land. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. That is in the wilderness, in Sinai. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Eternal who sanctifies them. And that Sabbath is still there to this very day. And a lot of people that claim that are followers of Christ have said, Oh yeah, we know the Sabbath, that God gave the Sabbath, you know, the 7-day Sabbath, but you know, it's not for us. And now we got another day. You see? In other words, we serve God, but we have also our own idol. We're going to, you know, make up our mind what we're going to do. We're going to lean to our own understanding. And the people of Israel have always been that way. Rebel rousers. Disobedient to their God. Idol worshippers. At the same time, they call upon God and worship Him. Jesus is Lord, they say. And in essence, all the others also are becoming their lords. Moreover, I also give them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Not the idols that do it. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them, not die. A lot of people are saying today, well, the law is harsh, you know, it's terrible, it's not for us, done away with, you know, got rid of it, you know, on the cross and things like that. It's not, you know, it's just for the old people, not for us. That's the attitude. Look, they're idol worshippers to this very day. And they greatly defiled my Sabbath, which they still do to this very day. They go to work on that day. And on Sunday, the day of the sun, where the pagans used to worship the sun on that day, that's the day they keep. Still idol worshippers to this very day, thinking in their own heart that they are righteous people, serving God. And then I said, I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. That's the second time we wanted just to blot them out. That's how angry he was with them. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath. Again, notice how many times he's using that. That's very serious. I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all the lands. Imagine that. He has to say that to his own people. Raise his hands and swear to them, I'm not going to bring you over there. Because they constantly refuse me. Because they despise my judgments, verse 16, and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbath, for their heart went after their idols, and they still do to this very day. They call themselves Christians. Or many others call themselves Jews. And they profane the Sabbath of God and the laws of God, and only very few of them are keeping them, and even then, they're doing it based on their own understanding, not the way God meant for it to be. Verse 17, nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destruction. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness, but I said to their children in the wilderness. That's the second generation that Joshua was just talking to, and they too had their own idols with them. He told their children, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. How are my Sabbaths? And they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. That's the only way you can know that He is your God, when you keep His Sabbath. And a whole religion today calling itself Christianity, which is basically a pagan religion, a mixture of truth and error, a little bit of truth and a lot of error, they still do the same. They despise the Sabbath of God, the laws of God, the statutes of God. And they believe the lies that they were told by their own false prophets, which they think to be the prophets of God. And that's what the children of Israel are all about. They would rather follow the false prophets than the prophets of God. Verse 21, notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. Even the children, second generation. That's what Joshua told them. You cannot serve God. Look at you. You're no different than your parents. In many ways, they're still idol worshippers. And so he said, notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live in them. But they profaned my Sabbath, speaking by the children, as they came to the land of Israel. Then I said, I would pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. So even the second generation were rebellious. And even when he brought them to the land, for a short time, you know, they still followed God to a degree, but still had their idols with them to the end of the days of Joshua. And after that, they went wholeheartedly back into idolatry. Verse 22, nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, I raised my hand in an oath. Notice how many times he says that. to those in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries while they were in the wilderness. And the tabernacle was there in their midst, and God appearing to Moses all the time, and the clouds above them, and the manna descends every day. This is what was going on. Right there, God wanted to throw them in all directions, even before they made it into the land. And it says, I wanted to disperse them throughout all the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were fixed on their fathers' idols. And that's what Joshua was telling them. You're still in idolatry. You claim that you want to serve God. You are not capable of doing it. And how capable are we of doing it today? We think that we are doing better in many ways, but are we? To what degree we are? How many of us? That's why it says many are called, but only few are going to be chosen. And narrow is the road, but the majority prefer to walk in the broad way. They lean to their own understanding. And they begin to compromise here and there, and they go back to idolatry in so many ways without even realizing it. And so he says, verse 24, I was going to disperse them in verse 23 and then verse 24, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. They are the ones that fulfill their needs on a daily basis. They didn't come to me. Therefore, I also give them up. Because of that, I give them up to statutes that were not good, and judgments by which they could not live. He said, literally, I gave them all kinds of statutes and judgments that were not really the best thing for them. But I gave it to them anyway. So a part of the law that was given to Israel was not good for them. God did not intend for them to have those kind of things. And he's not mentioning here which one. But one of them he mentions in another place, another prophet. But the fact that he defiled them in their own sacrifices, actually in Ezekiel also, where he made them give the firstborn as a sacrifice of every animal. And the firstborn is very important. You see, that's genetically speaking, that's where the strength and things like that in the firstborn. And if they sacrifice it, and now the rest are going to be of an inferior quality. That was not a good statute, but he gave it to them anyway because of their wickedness. And there were many others also, because they were rebellious. Verse 26, and I pronounce them unclean because of their ritual gifts, in that they cause, here it is mentioned here, they cause all their firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, speaking about the firstborn of the animals, might make them desolate, and that they might know that I am the Lord. And actually what people were doing, because of the law of giving the firstborn of the animal to God, literally sacrificing it, and it's for the firstborn of every family, they were to pay half a shekel to redeem that son, you see. When instead of that, because they leaned to their own understandings, because they worshipped idols, they actually went all the way by literally thinking that they are worshipping God by giving even their own sons, the firstborn, to God as a sacrifice, and they passed them through the fire. That's how perverted it became. And that's what happens when people lean to their own understanding. And therefore, he says, Son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, in this too your fathers have blasphemed me and being faithful to me when I brought them into the land concerning which I had raised my hand in an oath to give them. And they saw all the high hills and all the fig trees. They were offered their sacrifices. You know, there they offered the sacrifices and provoked me and their offerings. That is, with their offerings. There they also went up. They sent up the sweet aroma and poured out their drink offerings. So they thought, oh, we are so religious. Well, the people of God, look at all the things that we are doing. And to this very day, people function in the same manner. But God says, you were not really doing it to me. Then I said to them, what is this high place to which you go? So its name was called Bama. Bama is a high place, stage in modern language, to this day. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, are you defiling yourselves in the manner of your fathers and committing harlotry according to your abominations? For when you offer your gifts and make your sons pass through the fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols, even to this day. So shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel. In other words, you do all those things and you think you can come to me and ask you know, to intervene on your behalf, to deliver your land, to deliver your people, and deliver you from this captivity and things like that. They say, what do you take me for? And to this very day, people are doing their own thing, and yet they come to God, come to Jesus Christ, and ask for help, guidance, forgiveness, mercy, deliverance, this and that and the other thing, and they don't realize they are in idol worship in so many ways. And God says, I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to hear you. Get out of my sight. They say, are you going to do all these things, and then you come and inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of you. You know, I will not be inquired of by you, that is. I don't want to listen to you. I don't want you around here. What you have in your mind shall never be. When you say, we will be like the Gentiles. You know, we want to be just like everybody else. And you have, you know, the attempt by many churches to all get together. Let's all be one, you know, ecumenical trend that you find among many. That's what they say by that. We're going to be like the nations. So, they're saying we're going to be like the Gentiles, like the families in other countries serving wood and stone. As I live, says the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. If that's the way you want it, that's the way you're going to get it. And then he's now jumping into the future. Not only that time, but into the future, which is ahead of us. I will bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out. And that's what the great tribulation is all about. And then the day of the Lord. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead my case with you face to face. Just like he came down in Mount Sinai. He says in the future, in essence, this is what he's going into. The future that is ahead of us, because this never happened yet. That's what he's saying here. After, you know, tribulation, you're all going to go into captivity, and God is going to pour his fury on them. He's going to allow the nations to devour them. I'm speaking about all the children of Israel. And we're not talking only about the Jews. A lot of people in their ignorance, they don't know who they are. The majority of the house of Israel, you know, the northern kingdom, are living in the west, northwest Europe, all those nations mostly there, with, you know, except Germany and Austria. And even in northern Germany, there are still some Israelites left there. But all those nations in northwest Europe, and after that, you know, the British Isles and all those that from there, the Anglo-Saxons, they went everywhere else, to the Americas, to South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, and all those places. These are all the children of Israel. They don't know their identity. And they don't know what's coming. They're still into idol worship. They think that they're worshippers of God. You know, they think they're followers of Jesus Christ, the God of Israel. And they are not. They're the mixture of a pagan religion, truth and error, mostly error. And God says, I'm going to bring you out, just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will plead my case with you, says the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. You see, that's what Jeremiah is all about, and then Hebrews talks about the same. Behold, the days will come when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And it's not going to be like in the old days, because they have forsaken that covenant, they have rejected it. Now I'm going to write it in your hearts. That's what he's talking about here. I'm going to bring you under the bond of the covenant. And I will purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me. Oh, they don't think they do, but they do. As far as God is concerned. When they teach false doctrines, you know, you don't need to keep the Sabbath of God, you know, keep Sunday. You don't need to keep Passover, keep Easter. You don't need to do this, you know, the law is done away with. And so forth and so forth. Despising the ways of God, the mind of God, the nature of God, contained in His law, on one hand, and then claiming to be Christians on the other. You know, they call it all Jewish. That's not Jewish, that's God's. He's the one that gave it to them. And so He says, I will purge the rebels from among you. You know, some people will think, oh, we've made it. You know, God delivered us out of captivity and the great tribulation. And God says, oh no, that's not over for you. Yes, I'll bring you out from the countries where you are in captivity, concentration camps, whatever, but I'm going to sit here in judgment. And that's what Christ was saying, the day will come when I'm going to come down, come back, I'm going to sit on the throne of judgment, of the seat of judgment, and you know, I'm going to gather all the people before me, and I'm going to judge you there. And the sheep will be on the right, and the goats on the left, and these are the rebels. He says, I'm going to purge the rebels among you, and those who transgress against me, I will bring them out of the country where they dwell. Yes, he's going to bring them out of captivity. But they shall not enter the land of Israel. Just like the first generation that came out of Egypt. Oh yeah, God brought them out of Egypt on the way to the land of Israel, but He would not let them go in. He forced them to remain in the wilderness until they all died. And He brought sicknesses and diseases on them and all kind of afflictions to kill them, to destroy them. You see? And they did not even live long life, many of them. And that's what He's saying here. I'll let you come all the way there, but I'm going to judge you right there before you enter into the land, and you shall not enter into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. No, they don't. They think they do. As for you, house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go save every one of you His idols. You know, stick around with your own religion, your own doctrines, your own teachings. That's what you want. Go serve everyone of you His idols, and hereafter, and if you will not obey Me, but profane My holy name no more with your gifts and your idols. Don't come to Me and say, oh Lord, Lord, you know, Jesus, God, whatever it may be, bringing your own filthiness with you, thinking that it is of Me. Well, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.